know that I'm at a table with a whole lot of people who I see to be protectors of hip-hop culture in a time, you know, when it's no longer in our hands. And it's also encouraging to be in a room full of people who have that concept of reclaiming the media, because I feel like that's necessary and important right now in this time. And just studying the history of black music in this culture, whether it's rock, jazz, blues, it's like you get this 30-year time span where you're allowed to do your music before it gets marketed, commodified, watered down, and the next youth culture basically has to create something out of necessity just, you know, to have their voice out there. So I feel like we're in a really important time in hip-hop history, you know what I mean? And I feel like what Bambaataa and what a lot of the pioneers of hip-hop culture did differently that's really important is they basically defined it as a culture with certain elements and certain principles. And I just think that's real important for people to know about. And yeah, that's my two cents. I don't want to take up too much time. Word.
Yeah, let's see. I think that there's a real necessity right now to kind of re-educate the elders of our community that there's more to hip hop than what they hear on radio and see on MTV, because what you hear on the radio and what you see on MTV for the most part is, you know, very well off stockholders and businessmen, cutthroat businessmen being like, how can we make the most money in the shortest amount of time by exploiting, a product. And that product comes from a hip-hop product, seems to come from these neighborhoods that don't have the resources to be able to, you know, support their own products and build that economy for themselves. So I think that I think it's really important that all of us sitting here today realize that there is more out here to hip-hop, and hip-hop has been defaced by those very businessmen, who are trying to cut that profit, and the only reason that that's even happened is because there's not enough resource in these neighborhoods to be able to sustain itself. And so I think that I was falling off my chair. I'm just really excited about the possibility of the people that I see up here on this panel and the community at large in Seattle, because I feel like New York has had its time, and LA has had its time, and Chicago's had its time, and the South has had its time, and Seattle is right now, and I think that the Northwest, excuse me, and I think that there's a lot of power in the movement that we're on right now, and whether it's like teaching artists, you know, and arts education through hip hop and whatever, I just think that it's a very, very potent time. And I appreciate everybody being here and listening to, you know, what we have to say, because I think that we as a hip hop community are trying to hold it together without it being exploited by those same people that's happened in all those other cities. And so, yeah, I think it's about, you know, nobody in the neighborhoods that I work in, and that I grew up in, nobody knows what 91.3 or 90.3 is. And they don't know that those radio stations exist. And I think that having hip-hop programs like, what's that called on Sunday night? Sulu Radio. They got the Sulu Radio, and then they got Street Sounds. You know, they got some, you know, that Street Sounds is a decent show, is a decent hip-hop show. But nobody in the hood, the kids that I work with, don't know what that is. They don't know what that is on the dial. They know 93.3 and they know 104.5. And 104.5 is coming from Mercer Island. And much respect to 104.5, because they have a hip-hop show, a hip-hop station. But I think that it's on people like us in this room right here to be able to create that programming that can re-educate the elders of the community that hip-hop is more than, you know, what you're seeing, it's a lot more, and what it is power. And I think that, I don't want to go over my time limit, but I think that I wrote something down that I wanted to say, and I think that because it's a voice, the hip-hop can be is a voice of an oppressed people, there's a natural inherent kind of resistance from, you know, from these corporations and these businesses to to embrace and empower the true message that's coming from the neighborhood, right? So you have these kids who are trying to say one thing, but the only thing that's getting amplified is something that's safe and can make money and that people can dance to and stuff like that. So peace to everybody up here. Let's do that.
I feel like I could probably talk forever, yeah. But I'm just gonna come at it from the angle of a woman because I am.
Yes.
And also just start out with the fact that hip hop to me saves lives, it educates, it empowers, right. It's a grassroots movement. It's a mentality of people who wanna do something or wanna say something and they have to do it themselves. I'm an audio engineer, a music producer, a DJ, a B-girl, which is a break dancer, breaker, a teacher, an activist. I have a radio show. Like, we all do everything. All these people up here do 8 million things for hip hop. So then hip hop becomes you, like, you're not just going to a job, you're living it. So just coming from that angle, it is lonely being a female. I'm not gonna say it's easy, I'm not gonna say it's hard. It definitely has its ups and its downs. I teach a lot of all women classes, and what I've noticed is that society itself and community support sometimes is not there. And just like everybody slips through the cracks, women often slip through the cracks. And there's been a lot of times when I wanted to give up, but I can't, like I just can't. I just keep going, and that's what I'm trying to teach other people as well, that if you have the desire to do something and the motivation and your spirit is calling you to do that, that you need to take those steps, pursue it, and not take no for an answer, because I've been told no millions of times and I'm still here.
My number one goal with the Cool Out Network. We call it a network because we work with anybody. We do our TV show, but we also do a lot of nonprofit work. My producer, Giorgio Brown, just received an award from the mayor for his work in the community, specifically through hip hop. I tell everybody, you wanna save a generation, give them a mic and an amp. I mean, really, you want to save a whole generation of people, give them a mic and an amp, whether they're a clothing designer and they want to do a fashion show, whether they're an MC, a break dancer, an activist, no matter what you do, you give them a mic and an amp and you will save their lives. I see it time and time again with youth in the justice side of things, that just if they had something to do that one afternoon, they wouldn't have been robbing that store, being with somebody that did something stupid. You don't know, Matt, how many youth just get incarcerated because they were with a homie that did something dumb. They had nothing to do with it, but if they were not on that corner that afternoon, if they were at home with a mic and an amp, you could have saved their lives. What we do at Cool Out TV is we give a voice to the unheard. We focus on unrepresented artists. That means the ones you're not gonna see on BET. You don't know how many times we turn down interviews from major artists. We actually turn them down because we would rather be at the lo-fi filming Silent Land projects than filming 50 Cent at the Showbox. We constantly do that. We lose money for doing that because I won't accept ads from a beer company. I won't accept ads from any company that exploits my culture. Cool Out started on the streets of New York with a young man who saw rappers on the corner not have any voice. So somebody gave him a camera one day and he went, that's what I can do. He always tells people, I can't dance, I can't sing, but I can shoot a beautiful piece on people who dance and sing. I am at the age where I'm the first generation who can say they grew up on hip hop. I remember being 3 years old and hearing the first hip hop song on the radio. I have brothers who are older than me who were of the generation that made hip hop. I'm of the generation that grew up on it. Now the generation after me has grew up on what I call commercialized hip-hop. Every day, hip-hop gets raped in our community. It's a product now instead of a culture, and that's what we fight for. Everybody on this panel fights for every day, is to keep it from being a product. I mean, it can be a positive product, but unfortunately, if you're a corporation and you have $5 million to put into an ad campaign of beer, and you can throw a hip-hop beat behind it, you know, you're gonna beat out the kid on the corner who wants to make a t-shirt that says, uplift my people. You know, you're just economics. So what we do on a daily basis is we fight for the rights of the unrepresented designers, MCs, breakdancers, activists, etc.
Well, I feel lucky the days that I get to get up and go teach class, because I'm viewing hip-hop as a transformative tool to bring about change and shift thought patterns, particularly with the youth. I think that on one hand, the four aspects or four corners, this speaking hip-hop, using hip-hop in an educational sense anyway, the four aspects of the culture, you know, directly cater to at least four of what's called the multiple intelligences, the different ways that people learn. You have DJing, which caters to the musical intelligence. You have rapping and MCing, which caters to the linguistic. You have graffiti, which works with the artistic. And the last one is breakdancing, b-boying and b-girling, which focuses on the kinesthetic learner. And so you have those parts of it. And then specifically where I'm focusing with my class anyway is the socio-political aspect of it. And for a lot of people, that which used to be the forefront or the centerpiece of the culture, and specifically the music, say maybe 10 to 15 years ago, has now, for the most part, moved to the margins. You know, specifically talking about issues of race and class and gender that come up within these discussions about why hip-hop came about in the first place, issues around the commodification and commercialization of it. And for me, I know it's, you know, having been one of those kids who, you know, also was raised on it and had the opportunity when it was my time to buy a record, you know, the first record that I happened upon is Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang, and have it been such a integral part of my personal cultural makeup and development, you know, in college in the late 80s, early 90s, when hip-hop was really turning on that social consciousness, and again, having that be a big part of influencing me in my personal development, and then kind of having seen it transformed, it's hard for me to not, and when I'm looking at these students, late teens, early 20s, so that means when they started listening to it, about the mid 90s, is right around when that shift started to change, started to move towards more of the commercial stuff. And so they may not have any memory at all of when it was a critical thing, when it was a something that promoted social consciousness. And so it's hard for me sometimes to not be like, you know, oh, you know, you guys, what you guys are listening to is crap. You know, you don't even know how it used to be back in the day. And I resist that, but I think that it's important to remember that having a good time and living the high life and that kind of thing has always been a part of hip hop culture. It's always been there. It hasn't necessarily been such a central fixture the way it is now. And so, you know, the main thing for me, and again, I feel real lucky that I get to get up and talk and teach about something that's so near and dear to my heart, is to, instead of saying, okay, you know, let's not, what are you listening to 50 Cent for? You know, that's crap, you know, he ain't like it used to be. My greatest desire is to try to equip particularly the youth to view these things in a critical manner. If we're talking about well, okay, you know, if Public Enemy used to be at the top of the game, you know, in the early 90s, okay, let's talk a little bit about why we think now those things have been kind of pushed to the sides. I mean, that social political element is still there, but it's now been relegated primarily to the margins. And so for me, one of the main goals is to assist these young people in viewing these issues in a critical manner. And I've had the opportunity not only to work with this with college students, but also in a couple of high school programs like Upward Bound program, which caters primarily to students of color who are aiming to be among the first in their families to go to college. Also this new thing that they just had this summer, this summer college project that assists 11th graders who have struggled or have failed taking a WASL, because you know now you got to pass it in order to graduate, you know, those types of things, and use them and help with those marginalized youth to equip them to view these types of things in a critical manner. And that's the thing that has me most excited about the growth and expansion of hip-hop. You have people like me now who are now becoming in these positions of power and authority where we can exert, you know, our own personal cultural experiences. They just happen to be linked with hip-hop into these younger people who are coming up now and kind of, like I said, equip them to view these things, view these issues of race and class and gender that are presented to them in the media in a critical manner. So, you know, and don't listen to it, but just let's have the ability, let's equip you with the ability to view these things in a critical manner.
First of all, I want you guys to understand that hip hop is in good graces. I'm looking around and everybody's looking like, is this the death of hip hop? Now, hip hop is in great graces. You know, I believe the energy at this time, especially this time in the world, is pulling us all towards a certain direction. And hip hop is going that direction. I want you to understand that. We understand what hip hop means in education. We understand what it means in community. We understand what it means in social, political, economical corporations. We understand the value of it because I always like to tell people hip hop runs the world. You see what I'm saying? Anywhere you go in the world, when I say I'm a community activist, I'm not just talking about here in Seattle, Washington. I'm thinking about communities all over the world, that hip hop is the basic fundamental of all the youth. The youth gravitate to it. If you want to have a conversation with a young person, put on some hip hop music. Put on a beat. Say something fresh. Use some slang. And you'll be shocked at how quick you gain their attention. And then what you do with that attention is what is up to you. It's what's smart. Do we just turn them out and rape them or deprive them or, you know, say the most ignorant things they can imagine and then tell them that's what we celebrate? The intelligence of hip hop needs to be celebrated. The creativity of hip hop needs to be celebrated. And like I said, everybody on this panel pulls for that in some way or another. We all don't necessarily do it the same way, but we pull for that. And so I really want you to understand that hip hop is in good graces, especially here. I also agree with Amos as far as it is our turn to contribute to the final piece of the essay. I look at hip hop as an essay. And each section of the country has given their paragraph. What is our paragraph gonna be? What is it gonna say? Is it gonna say that hip hop was divided through cultural, economical, and social lines in the Northwest, as well as it is being all over the country? Or is it gonna say, nah, we got smart. We know what black music is. We respect it. We respect the music of struggle. We respect the music of change. You know what I'm saying? My partner Black says something great to me. He's like, Jace, with all change comes revolution. It's just how we revolt. Do we do it physically? Do we do it mentally? Do we do it spiritually? How do we revolt? How do we pull this energy that we call hip hop because we all can identify with one another's message? It's important to me that I want you all to understand first that these kind of conversations, this is the first time it's happened. It won't be the last time it's happened, whether it's a room full of 50 people or a room full of five.
Word up. Word up.
And I want you to understand that a lot of these people that sit here, we come with great ideas, but we need the outlets as well. If there's gonna be a, a written media, we need to be able to have a relationship with that. A disagree, and you can disagree in a relationship from what last I remember, you know what I'm saying?